You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Cargo secured. Extraction complete.
Intelligent system analytic computer is activated. All ISAT systems are confirmed online. Data scanned. Downloading files.
What's up, guys? You're listening to episode 123 of SITREP Radio, giving you the news and other happenings in the world of the Division. This week, we're talking the road ahead, update 1.83 meta, and downgrades. But first, my name is Mike, and joining me as always are my co-hosts, Robert.
Hello.
And Luke.
Hello.
Hello, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
You alright?
What accent was that supposed to be?
It's my own.
No,
this is how
wasn't.
I talk normally.
It's Michael Caine.
I'm not even going there. We had enough of that, like freaking Germany. But we do hope all our listeners have had an awesome week, and welcome to any new listeners of the show.
Real quick, huge thank you to anybody who supported us over on Patreon at the moment. The three of us are absolutely blown away by the level of support we've received in less than a month over there, and we just want to let everybody know that we genuinely appreciate every single pledge. If you haven't Amen. Already and you do want to support the show, then head over to patreon.com/sitrepradio. If not, that's absolutely fine too. Just listening to us three ramble on week in, week out is absolutely fine. For those on Patreon, we'll be posting weekly behind the scenes images from our latest show recording. Mike is also working on a video from our time at Gamescom that we will put out for the Patreon members first. And top-tier supporters get an exclusive episode once a month of SITREP Radio that will not be released anywhere else.
Which we are working on and will hopefully be going up in the next couple of weeks. Or next week. We'll see.
Well said.
Anyway, let's get on to some news.
State of the game.
So, as most of you know, back in March of this year, there was a roadmap that showed what was coming for the next year of the Division. And this roadmap ends this September, the month we are currently in, boys.
Oh shit, is it September?
It is damn September. So it's been a bit of an ongoing joke that the CM team, community manager team, hasn't known when the next GE event is going to be dropping over the last couple of months. So thank God, finally, they've decided to get their asses in gear and give the Division a proper roadmap for upcoming events, shield releases, state of the game updates, general news updates on the lead up to the Division 2. And they will be released monthly, hopefully, if everything goes to plan.
Do you reckon this is like a sign of what's coming, like in Division 2? Do you reckon they're going to continue this?
I hope so.
Fucking hope yeah. so. Yeah, definitely. This is something, I don't know. It would be awesome if they did this every month, like a clear path of every month. If you play the Division, you're going to have this event. You're going to have free weekends. You're going to have XP. I'm going to guess we're going to get field proficiency caches in the Division 2. We don't know, but obviously news updates. Obviously, if you look on this month's roadmap, you can see everything that's coming up. So first up this weekend, it's currently out. Oh, is it out now?
Out today.
I can't remember. It's out today. Sorry, my brain went blank then. The new shield is out. Talon.
This is the 3,000 commendation score shield, correct?
Yes, awesome. And it unlocks retroactively. And oh, cool. Yes, you have to have over 3,000 have to have 3,000 commendation score and above.
I've done it. Have you guys
if
done
you
it?
Have that?
I've done it on PlayStation.
Yeah, I've probably done it on PlayStation. PC?
I'm about 2,700 on PC, so I'll get
I don't
it.
Think you have. I don't think you have done it on PlayStation, Mike, because I haven't done it on PlayStation.
Maybe not then.
I was like, 4,000 something on PlayStation, so I grinded that shit hard.
I need to do that.
I was gonna say we need to do our shields for survival as well.
I haven't done that yet. I'm close.
What on PC?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have a chance when we got back that weekend.
Oh, dude.
From Gamescom.
Should have said. We could have, well, mind you, we've been playing something else this week, haven't we? But yeah, let me know. I'll play some Survival with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite good to see that Survival is kind of back in, like, community's hearts again, isn't it? You know, people have gone back and tried it, and they're like, actually, this is a pretty good game mode.
Yep. I said to Mike, that's probably the last one I'm going to complete.
Yeah, because you hate Survival. Well, not hate it, but you just...
It's just time-consuming. Like, it's not that I hate it. I just, like... You have to commit, like, to finish a run, you have to, like, commit to, like, 2 hours of sitting in front of your computer, and sometimes you... Having three kids, you can't do that.
Like, your kids have done stuff sitting in front of your computer before.
Shut up, Luke.
Well, maybe if you didn't go to bed early, you could finish the show. Nah, I'm messing, dude. I honestly, that's half my problem. I don't get a chance at the weekends to play it. So it ends up being 3 nights a week and then podcast recording. And plus, that's it.
When we play like Division during the week, we normally stream it. And I don't want to stream myself doing Survival because I suck at it. So.
Well, next time you're on at the weekend and you've got a couple of hours, let me know and I'll run some Survival with you, Rob. Because to be honest with you, you two not being around at the weekend made me play Survival. So that's how I got my shit done, because you weren't around to annoy me and make me do something else.
I was going to say, did you miss us that much after Germany?
No. I was quite welcome for the break.
Oh, I'm really sad now. But yes, obviously, new roadmap. Are you guys really happy about this for the future?
Yeah, like, we know when the state of the games are going to come in, so we can, like, plan our episodes now. It's great. Yes. We're like, wow, we've got there 2 weeks of nothing to talk about, so we need to do something in those episodes. Yay.
Like, what do you think we normally do?
On some shit, you know?
That's a good idea. I don't know if you noticed on that roadmap as well, Rob.
Yeah.
But there's a development blog on the 27th of September, the end of the month.
Yes.
By the looks of it, regarding future news for The Division 2.
Yes.
So, speculation time. What do you think will be revealed?
Welcome to Beta. Speculation Radio.
Beta dates, I'm guessing.
You don't reckon the Dark Zone?
No. I think they're going to keep that close to the belt.
Could be. But I guess we'll have to wait for the state of the game on the September the 27th. In 3 weeks' time.
There's a lot of freaking, like, events happening, isn't there? Like, I kind of wish we didn't go to Gamescom now. Maybe we should have gone to Comic-Con in Stockholm instead.
Or Gamers Day or in Saudi Arabia.
In Birmingham. Like, we could have just drove there, guys.
Comic-Con in Stockholm doesn't have the game, though.
Yeah, that's all those venues on that roadmap have the game.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, and I was comparing it to the 6th of September one where each individual one's got a joypad next to it.
I think that's just in general, like, that's just the header for the actual roadmap.
If you know, yeah, okay.
That's like the icon header. But yes, EGX is September 20th. I think the guys from Division Central are going.
They are so definitely talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, not 100%.
I think Sean Winder from the Division Elites is going, so have a good time if you do get a chance to play it.
Gus from our Discord is talking with the Division Central lads about meeting up as well, which would be cool.
Nice. I would try and go with you boys, but it's probably a bit late in the day to get tickets, especially after we've just come back from Gamescom as well.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the missus's good books for a couple of weeks.
RIP Cardiff. Anyway, obviously, from that roadmap, we can see there's HVTs coming, double HVTs coming. There's going to be field proficiency caches. But this weekend, if you are interested and you haven't had a chance, the Division is free to play on PC if you want to try it from the 6th of September to the 9th. And you can preload the game now. And when it's live, you can play it.
Hmm. I'd stay away from the DZ, though.
Oh, what, Rogue 29? Oh, that's...
No. Like, well, I suppose if you're starting a fresh account, you won't get to level 30, will you?
Well, you never know. It could be some hardcore players out there.
Did they put any caps on how far into the story you can get? Like level 15 or
no?
Oh, cool.
No.
That's really good then.
I wouldn't think so due to the fact that you can buy it and then continue your progress.
Mm. It's like a hacker's wet dream, this is. You can have a free account. Yeah, they can just make as many accounts as they want and then just hack their way into the dark zone.
True. There will also be a free weekend for Xbox One and PS4 September 13th, next weekend.
Sweet.
So you're not left out, folks. You're just, unfortunately, a week behind.
Everybody gets freebies.
And there's so much going on. The Division is on sale as well. So if you're interested, go check it out. I think it's like 70% off on Uplay.
70?
If you are interested. Yeah, wow. 70% off on Uplay. And the Season Pass, if you enjoy playing it for free. So you can pick it up. And there's a load of 50% off select in-game vanity items, blah, blah, blah. I think that's it for State of the Game news of this week. I think before we go any further with regards to discussions, there was one thing I think we did on Monday.
Oh, this is mega important news, isn't it, this bit?
Yeah, I'm going to pass that over to you, Luke.
I wish you hadn't, because I can't remember what time we got. But we were challenged recently on Twitter, along with all the other Division podcasts, to post a speedrun time of Lexington on challenging mode with at least 50% of our team group being podcast members. So we just three-manned it, all three of us, didn't we? It was the Division Central podcast guys that started this all off, wasn't it? And they did a time of, Rob?
6:36.
It was then Lockton's Upside Down lot that tried it first, I believe, to post a counter time, and they got, Rob?
7 minutes something. I don't know the exact time. It was like 7 minutes something. I'm 50 something, I think. I'm not sure.
And then
I can't quite remember.
With Elvin, who is one of the Division Central podcast guys, in the chat when we were streaming on Monday, as well as help from Chuck on the stopwatch, on Monday night, we three-manned a what is now leading time of, Rob?
It was 6 minutes 16.
6 minutes 16.
On the second try.
Only the second try as well, yeah. Good point. I forgot that, actually. The first time we were a bit slow, weren't we? But we still beat those upside down idiots. And then second run, we absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
first
run was quite slow, wasn't it? It was like 6:50 something.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, there's no way we're going to beat it.
And then we smashed it.
And then we failed.
With just three people. But to be fair, like, we tried it a couple of times after, didn't we? We couldn't beat that time.
No.
I don't think we could get close to it. No.
We did get another time that beat Division Central podcast guys, didn't we? But only just. Wasn't quite as well as 6:16.
It was like 6:35 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fair play to them, because they did it on PS4. So, like, Spud Aim and all that.
Yeah, but if one of our podcast members had actually got his tat link available, we might have been able to go a bit faster than 6:16, right?
Are you saying we were handicapped?
I'm saying me and Rob were handicapped, yeah. I was firing tat links right, left and centre. Rob popped in with a couple. Where were yours, dude?
I don't know where you're taking that conversation. It's just a bit weird. But it was a lot of fun, and I have since tried to finish unlocking certain things so we can make that narrow that time down a little bit more.
3 years into the game, he's done a podcast on this game since forever and still hasn't completed his boo on PC. Ladies and gentlemen, sit rep Mike.
Oh, yeah, that would be fine if every time I joined you cunts, it wasn't Dark Zone or straight into PvP and didn't get a chance to play anything else.
Have some self-control, dude. Say, Luke, sorry, I can't join you in the Dark Zone right now. I've got to go and unlock my talent because I'm a noob.
Well, speaking of self-control, Robert, you bought a game this week.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I may have bought the Forsaken DLC on PC for Destiny 2.
Dead game.
See,
it's not dead
deflection.
Game. It's fucking awesome. That's all I'm going to say. The bow is amazing.
What's that in Crisis 3?
Yeah, Crisis 3 bow in Destiny 2. I've barely touched the surface. Touched the surface of the DLC. I've like done 3 missions.
By the sound of it, you better keep your hands to yourself. Anyway, let's get on to this week's discussions. So, I don't know how you guys want to take this, but obviously, you must have heard the news that VG247, a gaming news site, put out an article this week stating that Microsoft actually paid Ubisoft not only for the exclusivity for the Division launch, which we know was a pain in the ass, but also they paid exclusively to keep the PS4 on par or lower graphically and performance-wise than the Xbox One. How do you feel about that? I mean, I don't know how trusted this news sources, but we know things like this happen in the industry.
Yeah, it's not really surprising if it's true. I will put that in there because it is just an external website that says this happened. It's not. I didn't read the whole article. I got bored halfway through, I'll be completely honest, but I didn't see many official quotes from anywhere saying we did this, we did that. So.
Well, one of the quotes from the actual article, it says the Division had a deal with Xbox, and part of that deal was to ensure that the PS4 version did not look better than it. The resolution, the frame rates, and density of assets could have been higher on PlayStation 4. However, that was vetoed due to the present issues with Microsoft. And I'm pretty sure back in the day, I think we all kind of knew that the Xbox One wasn't as powerful as the PlayStation 4. Obviously, the game's changed, and the Xbox One X is now more powerful than even the PS4 Pro. But you can even back this up with, I mean, there's a video by Digital Foundry. You can go on YouTube and have a look for it, and they do a comparison between PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And I think even the frame rate itself on Xbox One, even if they are kept on par, is still lower than the PlayStation 4.
Not the frame rate, the resolution. Because the Xbox has dynamic resolution scaling.
Yes, it does. Yeah, because the PS4 runs the Division at 1080p constantly. Natively. Yes. Whereas the Xbox One has to use dynamic resolution. So I think when you're in like smaller areas like the base of operations, maybe some safe houses, it's 1080p, but the minute you step outside into the open world of the Division, or Manhattan, should I say, it scales down to 900p.
Yeah, there's a similar way that a PC would drop frames if you're in like a high particle detail area. I imagine Xbox does the same thing for resolution, so because it only has so much VRAM.
Yeah, I mean, It's just how different those two consoles were, if you know what I mean. They're two completely different machines, and I think that's what it all comes down to nowadays, especially with regards to multi-platform games. The only difference is really what console do you want to play exclusives on? Because most games look pretty near on identical, don't they? So the fact that the Division actually has parity between them, the fact that Microsoft potentially paid for that parity is a bit of a dick move, but at the end of the day, they probably don't want the consoles to be varied graphically anyway. I mean, yeah. Out of all of it, the PC is kicks its ass either way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Master Race, baby.
It is where this game's concerned, for definite. I mean, I'm not very technologically minded, but when you guys were helping me pick which laptop to get for running Division on PC, the difference in quality of the gaming and everything else that goes with it when you actually boot it on PC is mind-boggling. Especially just running it. Yeah.
Just running it at 60 frames just makes a world of difference.
Yeah, but can you imagine playing the Division at 60 frames or above on like a PC, and then you're playing it on like Xbox or PS4 at a lower frame rate just because the console has basically been locked at that due to being paid off by
cunts.
Microsoft.
I mean, like
we said, like it's not. We don't know how good the source is at the end of the day. It could just be a load of whack, but the chances are parity was either paid for or made to be the case either way, because that's the only difference in console games.
Does that mean that, because we've seen the comparison video, right? So does that mean the PS4 was maybe held back a little bit?
Yeah, that's literally what they're saying from that comment. That it was the more powerful of the two.
I know, but like the comparison video states that, I mean, the PS4 is constantly at 1080p and the Xbox has to scale. But does that mean, because to me, that means nothing's been done. Like nothing's been held back. Maybe they just didn't bother.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Because the PS4 is still superior.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If this is the case where they've tried to hold the PS4 back, it at the time before the Pro and the Xbox One X was out, it was still, I guess, the better console to run it on due to the dynamic resolution scaling on the Xbox One X and the frame rate. Because I'm pretty sure we've all had like frame rate issues in the Division on console before on PS4 when we've played it.
Yeah. Especially during the Seeker Mine meta. It was frames left all over the place, weren't there?
Yeah, shit. I think a few times I had to reboot my console
because you had quite an issue during that time, didn't you?
I had major problems with it. So I mean, if that's us playing it on PlayStation, and then if it was slightly worse on Xbox, that sucks for people.
Whilst we're talking about performance, there's a lot of people we used to play with on PlayStation 4 that would just temporarily lose all game audio as well, wouldn't they? I don't know. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with frame rates or any of that sort of shit, but performance-wise, it was obviously an issue somewhere.
I used to get that bug quite often.
So that's one I never suffered with, but I did, especially during, like I say, during the Seeker Mine meta, I dropped a lot of frames. There was a lot of stuttering going on. But I mean, we've all known for a long time that the Division is a very CPU intensive game, isn't it? Whether that be a console CPU or a PC, it's a hard slog sometimes. So
yeah, I mean,
it's a brand new engine, isn't it? So it needs optimization, which hopefully the next game will have. So
I would have thought so. There's been What was it, 3 to 5 years before the Division was launched, was working on the engine. And then the 2-3 years leading up to the Division 2 now, I would think it must be in a lot better state than it was for the original launch of the game.
What was the game we were queuing for, Mike, where one of the devs was talking to you and he said that Snowdrop is the most expensive engine ever created? Can you remember what game that was?
It was that THQ Nordic one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how in the know that dev would be. He certainly would know a lot more than
it's a Swedish company, wasn't it?
Yeah, he mentioned something above $100 million.
He knew a lot about
Massive, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I can imagine, like, as developers, it's a community. So, you know, not being funny, we know guys at other podcasts. I imagine it's a very similar thing where people like other games and you hear what's going on at other studios.
I wish I could remember exactly what figure he used, but it was definitely over $100 million, wasn't it, for development of the Snowdrop engine, which is insane amounts of money.
Well, the other thing as well, me and Rob were listening to me and Rob have been checking out some gaming documentaries on YouTube, just instead of listening to music at work.
Nerd alert.
And one of the, yeah, unfortunately, but one of them was basically how Rainbow Six Patriots became Siege. And it was basically down to the fact that they'd released Rainbow Vegas 2, they were creating Rainbow Six Patriots, but it wasn't running in real time, and it was on the Assassin's Creed Unity engine.
It didn't.
It was on like PS3, wasn't it? So it wasn't even next gen at that point.
The Unity engine was a third person engine, and they were trying to make it into a first person engine, and it was going to cost like loads of money to get it to work. And there was also, the thing is, there was lots of political reasons why that game didn't come out as well, but.
Yeah. Just a few, which explains a lot. Like, if you go back a couple of months when the CEO of Ubisoft was on about, oh, you know, we're trying to add politics into our games. And obviously, the discussion of Washington, D.C. and using that and the political environment that you create by having the Division 2 in that, and all the backlash they got on the lead up to Patriots being released.
I think
which obviously never happened.
But like, it was meant to be in New York, wasn't Patriots?
Yeah,
it was based in New York. And the gameplay that you see from it is very cover based. And I just thought, well, hang on. And another thing, there's a certain studio that worked on Patriots that we're familiar with.
Red Storm.
So it seems like maybe once that game died, they were like, well, okay. End of a generation, maybe we need to build a new engine. And that's maybe where Snowdrop came from.
Yeah.
That is complete speculation on our end.
Well, yeah.
Because we have no idea, but...
Well, we know Massive created Snowdrop, don't we? And that was put out years ago. And it's been built upon... But getting back to the task at hand... I don't know what to think of it overall. It's shitty if that is the case, but it happens with every multi-platform game. I expect you can point your finger at any like multi-platform game out there, and all of them are meant to be on par with each other, as best as they can. Any final thoughts from you guys before we move on?
No, dude. I think we've covered it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Next quick discussion, I'm going to pass over to Rob. Apparently there's an issue with the update 1.8.3 meta.
Wids has put a video out recently about a D3 build. So basically you spec into a D3 like you would normally. So 9K firearms, 125 skill power. And then whatever left you put into firearms. But once you've got your shield out, you've still got the stat. That shield has still got the stats for the 9K and the 125 skill power. Once you've got that shield out, you can then switch some gear sets out and get yourself 10K firearms. And you will still have, because it's a skill, and the skill procs when on from what you've got on. So at the time of that skill proc and you've got 9K firearms, it doesn't matter if you switch gear sets after, that shield is just as strong and you've got 10K firearms.
Wow.
Boom.
Boom. Tank with enough firepower to kill anything.
I wish you could see Luke's face right now because he's like, what?
Yeah. I'm equally amazed and unamazed that this is a thing, because
I did say this to Rob earlier. I was like, how?
Bearing in mind, if you run D3 like I do with damage mods rather than resilience mods, right, that means you're getting an extra, I think I can get up to 28% damage when my shield's out. So 28% more than 10k firearms.
That's an extra 2,800. So you're basically at 13k firearms.
Yeah, there we go.
Nice.
Baffled seems to be the word. No,
I'm not, because I understand how this works, because you pop the shield and it is then an active skill, isn't it? But you can...
Yeah, obviously.
It puts itself away when you start running, but it's still active, because the minute you stop running, your shield pops out again. Like, it's quite a dynamic skill how that works. That's quite clever. But if it then still allows you to switch gear pieces... Yeah, that's quite funny.
But apparently this isn't like a new thing. Apparently this has been an issue for a while, but the fact that Striker is now not the meta per se,
it's just been found.
People are obviously, yeah, people are looking to other builds,
yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, look, this has got a glitch. Maybe we can use this.
Without sounding like every other troll who just says to the massive devs, oh, why don't you just press the fix it button? This one does sound like it would be relatively easy to fix, because you just build in whatever mechanic they've got built in that says, right, you can't do this because your skill is active, and build it into the shield skill. Because they've obviously had to supersede that to make the shield work the way it works. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I could be completely wrong. It might be the most complicated fix that there's ever been, but...
Or just make it, the minute you change a piece in your inventory or your loadout...
Your skill pops.
Yeah, your skill pops.
Mm. Yeah.
That would say, but I mean, it is, yeah, it's a game, it's not a game-breaking bug, but it's not great for PvP circumstances at all. Like, it's still situational, isn't it? You still got to have duplicate pieces of D3, which I'm sure people have thousands of pieces of D3 by now. Rob's nodding.
Didn't we just have a global event that gave you D3?
Yes.
Wow, I'm not going in the Dark Zone for a while.
To be honest, D3 has been quite rare in the Dark Zone. Like, you'll find it one in a team, but if like people are running solo, it's Nomad. If people are running twos, it's probably both Pred, to be fair. I haven't seen...
You say that. Me and you were running... I was running D3, you were running Leinster the other day.
Yeah, but that was... I was in the DZ dicking around solo as Lone Star, and then you joined me. It wasn't a conscious effort to be a team of two.
No, true.
Yeah. Because then Mike joined us, and it was two Lone Stars and a shield. We got what? Manhunt 4?
Stand back.
I mean, we got wrecked quick when a decent team turned up, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the minute, you know, you're saying there's no D3s, but, like, Wizards just put out a video. Everybody knows now. And people are looking for the next meta, and they're like, well, so you're going to see a whole load of Roman Knights in the freaking DZ
we've
now.
We've got Battlefield 5 beta still tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Then
beta,
shut up. And then we need to find something else to play for a week while they potentially fix this.
Wow, Rob's got you covered there.
I'm not playing that shit.
Obviously, this being like a meta issue for PvP, and I'm guessing, well, I know it's not going to be a case in like Last Stand or Skirmish. Obviously, the issue will still be there. You just won't have the 10k firearms or whatever. I've seen a couple of people put out tweets on Twitter asking, do you think it's a good idea for people to reveal glitches this late in the game on the lead up to the Division 2? Because of the fact that it's going to take time away from the Division 2.
Makes no difference to me how late in the game it is. I don't like people revealing glitches, to be honest. Like, I know why Wids and Marco do it, because they are very, very large channels and it will get a lot of traction, and therefore almost, I don't like using this, but almost force the devs to act quicker than they perhaps want to. But you are creating a D3 firearms meta within the game just because you're popular and put out the video because you figured out how to do it.
But I don't think that's entirely their fault. If they find something game breaking, then I do feel like it's good to get it fixed. I know the way that they do it might not be the best way, but if that is the only way that, I mean, look at Striker. Everybody kicked up a huge fuss about Striker being broken. About the running the place bug. Everybody kicked up a huge fuss about that. And the minute that was brought up as being a huge issue on like videos and things like that, it was responded to, and it was reacted to a lot quicker than we've had things reacted to in the past.
True, but I'd be absolutely gobsmacked if the devs didn't react as quickly. I'm sorry to call them out publicly. They do great work for the community. I'm not picking on Marco or Wids. Wids is obviously an example at the moment that we're using because he's put the D3 video out. Marco's done it previously with other glitches, so sorry for naming them publicly. But if Wids or Marco like DM'd Petter or Hamish or whomever you want to name and said, look, I found this. I could put a video out if I wanted to and teach everybody how to do it, but I'm telling you first, if you don't fix it in a couple of weeks, I'm going to put the video out to put pressure on you. I'm pretty sure they would do something about it.
I hate to disagree with you there, Luke, but I'm pretty sure Marco has told the devs and even wrote on dev blogs before he made videos and nothing happened, so that's why he made the video.
Okay, if that's the case, I apologize. I wasn't aware of that, and in that case, that sucks that has to happen. I'd like to have given them.
I'm not saying that's the same with this glitch, but it feels like that's the only way to get them to act. But not that we need them to act. But I generally think people doing this is a good thing because learning from mistakes is never a bad thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also showing every time something changes in this game with regards to the meta, it really does show how unbalanced a lot of the gear sets are and how there are still a few bugs remaining that could have been picked up that haven't been picked up until.
I don't know about unbalanced. It certainly keeps showing how complicated this game is.
Yeah, which is why we've said before, like, we don't want to get rid of the complicated side of the game. We just want the gear sets to be more refined or the brands for the future with the Division 2.
It also shows that all Division players are power hungry. They just want to find the next powerful thing that's going to wreck people.
I'm going to say use Firecrest. I fucking wish.
Mike wants Firecrest to be OP. Never going to happen.
Dude, if
they keep nerfing gear sets, it might happen, I guess.
I was going to say, the minute Firecrest is the meta, you know it's a bad day.
Firecrest with an MDR.
You're talking Renji Hero Sage language there, mate.
Mm-hmm.
He's nursing a semi just because you said that on the podcast.
Well, I hope he's got some tissues to hand. Anyway, very quickly, boys, what have we been up to this week? Okay, nothing. You did literally nothing this week.
We smashed a speed challenge.
True.
Then we played Battlefield.
Also true.
Better.
The better Battlefield.
Why don't you shut the fuck up and go and get your title, bitch? You fuck off and play Space Magic.
And I've played Space Magic. There we go. Job good.
I listened to last week's episode. You spent the whole time ripping me for saying stash space. And the funny thing is, I was like, oh, what's that backwards, Rob?
Space stash.
Made me laugh. Put a smile on your face.
What?
I don't know.
What the fuck are you on about?
Is that like mustaches in space? Mustaches.
Right, fuck it. Let's go.
yeah.
Go on,
Robert.
Say the words.
You're a cunt.
That's the one. I'll...
Anyway, where can the listeners find us, dude?
Anyway, you need to stop saying anyway. You can
remember
find
when
us...
we used to rip him for saying...
Oh, apparently I can't fucking say anything, so...
That being said, you used to say that every 5 minutes.
That being said, you can find us over at Sit Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as our personal accounts. Send us any questions or feedback to the show at sitradiopod@gmail.com, or you can find us on Discord, the links in the show notes. We want to hear your thoughts on the news and topics we cover, so be sure to leave... a comment. Oh my god. And join the discussion in any of those places. Luke?
I was going to say, I hope Cheryl enjoys that because that's fucking weird to look at.
That being said, please leave a review of the show using the podcast app of your choice. That being said, we genuinely enjoy reading all of them. The feedback is excellent. And that being said, at the end of the day, it does actually help other people to, that being said, find our show. If you, that being said, listen all the way to the very end of our show, you will hear all the juicy details about other podcasts available on the Mash Those Buttons Network. Thank you.
And if you want to find these two cunts, you can find them dead in their own blood in the gutter.
Wow, brutal, dude. That being said, though.
Yeah. Someone messaged Rob's parents and tell me he smokes.
Hey.
Has your dad said anything yet?
No.
Damn. I think he's a few episodes behind. Anyway, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the sun sets. And we do live stream as often as we can. So if you're interested in dropping by and chatting with us whilst we play some Division and other games such as Battlefield at the minute, you can find us over at twitch.tv/SitRapRadio. We have been Sit Rep Radio. Thank you very much for listening, agents. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
That being said, bye-bye.
Thank you for choosing a Mash Those Buttons podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to subscribe to one of our shows, you can find us on multiple podcast platforms across iOS and Android. Just search for the show on a podcatcher like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts and hit subscribe. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast platform of choice, just go right to the mashthosebuttons.com website, grab the RSS feed, and put it into your podcatcher of choice. If you want to check out some other podcasts you may enjoy, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com/shows. For World of Warcraft fans, we have two podcasts, WoW Talk, which is our news and community podcast, and The Torn and the Goblin, which is our lore and story podcast. If you enjoy Overwatch, make sure to check out Watchpoint Radio to keep up with the latest on Overwatch and its community. If you enjoy fighting games, make sure you check out Double Tap for the latest in the FGC. If you're a fan of The Division or looking forward to The Division 2, make sure you check out Sit Rep Radio. If you want to keep up with the latest at Mash Those Buttons, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mtbsite, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, and youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. We'd also like to have you join our Discord community, so just go to discord.me/mashthosebuttons and join us for a chat. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.